Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is it. It's happening finally. I know you all have been like petitioning to end this show for years. Topicocalypse is coming to an end. This is the Topicocalypse apocalypse. The boys are back in town. You'll probably hear some boys are back in town music playing, you know, in post-production.
With copyright issues.
I was going to play Ram Jam, but apparently Black Betty is frowned upon these days.
Ben Blanc.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Because she had a child, Bam-a-lam, the damn thing went wild, Bam-a-lam.
That's what happens.
Yeah. All right, and we're joined here by people who have been on this show during various walks of Topicocalypse's life. I got here up in the, you guys can't see the screen, so it doesn't really matter. I'm joined here by by Chelsea. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Chelsea. What's
I'm running for governor of California.
What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody?
Nobody will be offended by that.
this screen is reminding me of the Brady Bunch intro. Just so you guys know. Also joined here by Big Dog.
No, he says Jesse.
Jesse Inglis. He took his camera off.
Towley.
And back on Topicocalypse, Sir Brian Kane.
Hello, hello.
Recently knighted, right? Yeah. And Denial, so-called nice guy.
Howdy, 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 howdy.
And
does that mean he's not a nice guy? Or
yeah, it depends.
Well, the way he dropped the hockey team, I wouldn't say he's a nice guy.
No. Hey, just because my knee got blown out, sir. No. Josh can feel me on that one.
I don't have bad knees. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. You got blown out and Josh can feel you on that.
Whatever.
One thing led to another. It's just
nothing to be misunderstood. Josh blew him. Okay. Just as simple as that. There was nothing that was misunderstood.
And Daniel was on his knees. So wait, what happened to your knee? Seriously? Just like
we had a double hitter and some dude leaned in, some guy that was like twice my size leaned into the side of my knee and it popped inward.
Ooh.
Oh, dude,
yeah, he got leaned into.
Yep.
Hard.
Do you have surgery or are you just doing PT and stuff and just doing it?
I've never done that. I just started losing weight. Got better.
That helps a lot.
Oh, yeah, you know, when you go down from 215.
Your helps too.
So was it like a blessing in disguise?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, all right. And also we're joined here by our good friend Brian Wegner.
Hell yeah. You guys probably remember me from all those famous episodes where we talked about, Josh, insert all the cool stuff that we've talked about here. Do a lot of posts.
Very natural.
Up here in the corner.
You know,
everybody knows Josh does all the post work. Everybody's familiar with this show. Well, there's tons of editing.
You know how many times like I've gone back and listened to episodes of this podcast and I've heard people say that I'm going to fix it in post or I've said it and I've never done it?
Yeah. I remember how you used to record us when we took bathroom breaks on Super BS and you wouldn't.
Wait, hold on. He record you in the bathroom?
Yeah, he did, actually. He took a video camera.
That's,
it was weird. It was an audio podcast.
It's not
weird.
Just
put that part
on
video.
You're giving it a label. I can do whatever I want these days. It's not weird.
It's my body. I can do what I want. It's my body. I can do what I want.
That's where I recognize you from.
bathroom.
I know. We had all the streams going at once.
Nice.
Yeah. But
honestly, though, I think my favorite memory of having Brian Wegner on the show is when we did the Stan Lee in memoriam episode Cameron Miller came on and Brian goes, so how do we pay our respects to Stan Lee? Do we like dance on his grave? Do we pee on his headstone? Like, I don't know.
That guy really liked Stan Lee, didn't he?
He lost his shit, I'm sure.
He didn't want to come back on the show after that.
This guy wanted to give Stan Lee a golden shower. What the fuck?
I just wanted to respect both of them equally, okay?
I love gold. I love showers. How can they be wrong?
See? Daniel gets it. Not trying to be rude. Just trying to...
I appreciate that.
I'm just trying to kiss him between the cheeks, okay? That's what I'm trying to do for both of them.
Oh, Lord.
Was that guy upset? I remember that episode. I don't remember. Was he actually upset? Or...
He just said he didn't want to come back on after that. I don't know if he was mad.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but...
was that the first time he was on?
What appears in here is Brian's whole mantra is to, piss off everybody you can.
I've never, ever said that on this show before.
On this show.
Well, now's your chance.
Well, go out with a bang, bro.
That's what I'm all about, okay? We all know how Rocky. This goes in culture. Just say whatever you want. There will be nothing, no repercussions at all. We live in a very forgiving culture. It's called forgiveness culture. That's what I live around in California.
Where everything is accepted.
Everything like any of us are famous. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is second chance culture. I mean, cancel culture was last week. So, all right. So as you guys know, this podcast, we started this thing back in like 2017, right? It's been about 5 years since this thing started. Isn't that insane?
I hate to interrupt you, but can you do one of these like Christmas episodes where like we're all there and we're like, remember the time when, and you just play the clip.
We could definitely. I started like listening.
So much post production.
I started listening to like back catalog episodes, and I was trying to like pull out clips and be like, hey, do you regret saying this? I was gonna have a whole like thing ready, and I just it was too much.
Would you
and
like
just,
to take that back?
I just yeah. Would you like to take would this you? Back? You know,
I'd like to apologize to Brie Larson. Very
much. She has been the butt of a lot of jokes on this show.
Yeah. Personally,
and then Josh, would you like to take back your hatred of Wonder Woman? You sexist pig.
That movie sucks.
No, but
Josh, would you like to admit to everybody on here that you are a racist for hating Black Panther, a sexist for hating Wonder Woman? What can you not do? You need to love these films.
You like the lead of battle.
Yeah,
I did like
Alita.
So
episode 8, you are a racist disabled pig.
Cuties.
I'm a disabledist.
I don't know, whatever they're called. The people who hate other people for their disabilities. Those groups.
Ableist.
That's a rough one.
Enableist?
No, a disabilist.
Disabilist. Okay. All right. Brian Kane's first episode with us was the I'm Coming Out as Fat episode, and that is probably like hands down one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, that was good.
Wait, what was it about? I missed it.
You want to recap this?
I need to remember.
Regale.
It was an article that you read.
So this was about a article I found about this woman, and the headline was I'm Coming Out as Fat, and she had to like tell the world that she was doing it and how it was like her ode to like her confidence, essentially. Like she was like proud and confident that she was coming out and like, it's okay that I'm fat. I like to eat, you know, 6 burgers at Wendy's, whatever it was that she was saying. And it was like, as long as the picture of her made it very obvious she was. She didn't need to tell anybody.
Well, I mean, you didn't know. You didn't know before.
No one ever showed her a mirror, Brian.
I don't see
a
way.
Just her name, like, I probably wouldn't have known. And it shouldn't matter. Like, I think the whole point was, like, I think it's just a little odd to be like, look at me, I'm crying for attention. Look, I'm fat. We know.
I mean, sad news was she died a month later from overdosing on food. But, you know, she was proud for that 1 month.
Can you overdose on food?
She lost her battle with anorexia.
She lost her battle with anorexia. Oh. That was,
she won it. She won it with that one.
She did. Oh, my goodness. This is sad. Poor giant human who literally makes the world spin with how big they are. I like to eat. I just want to tell you. I know you can't see it when you look at me outside, but I got to tell you.
I'm going to find this article.
Food.
There's a fat person.
He likes to eat
what you're trying to say?
Food and feelings.
I'm a fat person. Okay.
Do you have eating britches?
Oh, guilt is charged. God, I'm still wearing them.
All right.
Okay, hold on. I know this doesn't matter for the audience. I feel like I have to share some content really quick.
Wow, this is like 4 years ago. Coming Out as Fat on Ravishly.
Yep, that's the
nice.
One.
Nice. This is, dude, Brian, what are you doing reading this website? Ravishly. Oh, my God.
Apple News really curates an odd and eclectic mix of articles.
It's all good, man.
You find some gems on there every once in a while.
I think this is
gems.
I love the opening line. I'm fat.
Congratulations.
That's all it is I'm fat, period. There's nothing else.
That's the hook. Like, if that's the thesis of the article.
She's got her PhD in something.
I think this is a plus size woman's website. Every article is about being fat here. So
is that
fat isn't really brave, it's just true. That's the most recent one. I think.
Oh, well, I love this article. Stop gaslighting your kids. Use charcoal instead.
Yeah, there's no doubt that she was large.
Those poor kids. All right. So anyways, 5 years of this podcast, it's time to bring it to an end. Time to wrap things up. You know, we've all gone on different walks of life since things started here.
Mostly prison. That's where
mostly
all of us ended up.
Mostly prison, yeah. You know, Justin here, Peterson, my brother, has a. We all moved out to Texas here, and he's got himself a house and a baby, and
that's cool.
And a
sweet. Thanks for these
humble brags.
Like cool beard he's got going on here. Look at that thing, dude! You got like
that is,
you got
epic.
Some oil in there.
Still scraggly,
like,
though.
I got oil in there, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's all, like, very
I
well.
I wanted Brian Kane to be a little jelly, so I took the shower and did the oil this morning.
It looks you took great. A shower. Congratulations.
Took
yeah.
a shower. He took a shower for you, man. Did you,
yeah,
did you understand that?
Have you ever, like, slept a weird way and then it's, like, not, like, centered to your face anymore and it's, like, off to the side?
Yeah, I woke up the other day and it was sideways.
Oh, it's so weird, right?
Yeah, it was awkward for me.
Do you ever
Texas, how many times have you gotten mistaken for Marv?
That's a good one. Well, actually, there was a time at the Marv. Where the waitress asked me.
She likes no, so after hockey we go to Outback Steakhouse for a drink and some appetizers and
for Awesome Blossom.
I asked the waitress if he looked like Marv from Home Alone, and she kept sending her friends over. So like we'd just be sitting there talking, and different waitresses throughout the night would come and just look at Justin and laugh.
Yeah, and start laughing.
It was a good time. Yeah.
And that's the appropriate response to people who dine at your establishment is to send people over to make fun of them and laugh at them consistently.
Yeah. That ensures a big tip.
Do we need to cancel Outback? Is that?
I've already canceled Outback. They're not in Australia, and they're pretending to be an Australian establishment. Okay, that is countryist. Okay, that is not nationalistic.
They identify as Outback. Okay,
they identify.
As Australians.
Yeah.
Big dog, now you have a young one on the way. June, right? It's a due date?
I do.
Oh, buddy. Congratulations. Seriously. How does it feel?
Cool.
Yeah. It's a man of many words here.
Cool. Well, thanks for the invite.
Brother,
we would love to be there.
Your brother has a kid too, right, Justin?
Yeah, he had his baby last year. Okay. She was a... Coronial.
Keep up with the Joneses, right, bro?
Oh,
that's why you're
coronial.
Doing this.
Coronial. I thought it was because your brother likes Corona.
Well, Justin beat me, so.
That's what I was going to say. Is that off?
Nice. Nice. All right.
Not for a long time.
And Brian Kane.
You forgot the word off after
off.
That.
Brian Kane got married, bought a house. Can you tell the wonderful listeners here about like the house that you almost bought?
How you're an adult now. Jeez.
Jeez. So we were looking for this house, and it's in the neighborhood that we end up liking, and go through, see the house, everything looks great. We put in our offer gets verbally accepted, great. We then get contacted by the selling agent, and he says, okay, I have to disclose a couple things. First thing, somebody died in the house. Okay, not a big deal. Second one, he says, there was like a little bit of a attempted murder in the house.
Oh, we're white. We like that stuff.
Some serial killer came through and tried to go through and kill this person and raped the wife in the house, blah, blah, blah. Turns out it was the house that the Night Stalker went to in Mission Viejo, California.
No.
Oh, shit. What?
It's like asking for a haunting to go down.
I'm telling you, you're white, dude. You'd feel right at home.
There's no actual murder that took place. He shot the guy in the head with the 22, but it didn't kill him. He's just paralyzed.
Just paralyzed.
So he won't haunt the house.
Raped and all that, and the only reason he didn't kill her was because she said, "I've got $400 for you if you'll let me live," and then he took the $400 and bounced.
Oh. I think I saw that
on the Netflix
documentary.
Netflix documentary. Yeah,
there's
two houses in
Diego he hit. One of them is really close by to this one, and then the other one was this one. But yeah, so glad we didn't get that house.
Yes. I mean, are you really though?
Seriously,
would you rather have that house?
It terrified my wife.
You could have filmed Paranormal Activity 6, though. I mean, if you
17
could have,
yeah,
you know, made millions.
Ghost toasters.
When we're showing people the houses, right. Like do the white chalk outline of like where the body would have been.
Yes,
they've been murdered over there, and like that happened. Their Halloween would have been great, but it's kind of creepy to think about. There's fanatics who like still love Richard Ramirez, and so like easy to find that address, and so they would just come to the house and be like so
it's like a chip in Joanna Gaines' house but with a serial killer.
Wait, aren't they serial killers?
How many times you been there, Josh?
What? Oh, Chip and Joanna, are you I've been out there a few times.
Magnolia Land?
It's like Disneyland for people out here in Texas. Like, you go out there.
For people who watch HGTV?
Yeah, for people who watch HGTV. But you go to this place, and, like, they have like, a coffee shop. You know, the silos got food trucks and this, like, big home store. But you go in here, and, like, every wall that has, like, a logo on it, there's someone taking a picture in front of it. Even, like, the bathrooms. You can't go anywhere without ending up on somebody's Instagram.
Well, I mean, that's how it should be. So are you complaining about what should be in life, you pig?
Yes. And the...
a lot of pigs visit this place, too.
There are a lot of pigs out here.
A lot of pigs.
But
they have a farm, right?
Okay, so the farm is actually, like, 15 minutes down the road from us, but they have removed all, like, the signage because I guess they have people, like, sneaking onto their property and...
Stealing their animals?
Well, not stealing, but trying to take pictures. And, like, I guess nobody wants to live in the fixer-upper houses because they keep on, like, finding people in their front yard. So people have been selling those houses.
That's because they got that tour. It takes them on a tour.
Well, it's like...
They
it's
have
not,
a tour? Seriously?
They do have a tour, yeah. Yeah.
Not a lot to do in Waco.
It's not a fandom. It's pretty like cool. Yeah, exactly. It's not a fandom. It's a cult. Like, it's almost... I don't know. It's... frightening.
A lot of orange.
I know Waco's known for cults, but
see,
like,
yeah, right.
We need to start another one.
It's gonna.
They already did.
Be seriously.
Branch Joshidians.
Yeah. It's. I don't know. It's tiring to go out there. Like it's. I don't know. I prefer going to Disneyland as opposed to this, just because like you're not like constantly. Disneyland is bad, but out here, you're like shoulder to shoulder with people when you go into this place. Like at least at Disneyland, you have a little bit of room to breathe.
I think the real difference between that and Disneyland is Disneyland's actually interesting to look at, and this is like a barn.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy that people care about going to the barn.
Those cupcakes, though, come on, let's be real.
I couldn't get into any of those places. There was too many people waiting. It's
well, you should have went the right time. Okay.
Yeah.
I went during a snowstorm. Where's the bear time?
Well, that was your bad.
Did Joanna Gaines actually live there, or is that just for the show?
No, so they live down the road from us. So they're about 10, 15 minutes.
Or whatever.
Yeah, and so they have like bodyguards and security outside their place constantly. So I was
sucks.
One of the teachers that I work with, he's you know, he's getting close to retirement, but he's telling me that his daughter went to school with Joanna Gaines and like they still talk, and she's telling her that like the paparazzi wait outside the schools for their kids to come out.
It's awful.
And so when they go on vacation, they have to go on vacation outside the country because they're recognized literally everywhere they go.
Anywhere here.
You want to be famous.
I'm sorry, I would not know who they are if I crossed their path now.
Yeah, it's insane.
If you've been in a Target, you'll see her smug face everywhere.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, her books and her like pillows and all that. Denial, you just got back from Walt Disney World, man. How were things there?
Freaking hot and humid.
Yeah, what was
it? Fun.
What was the mask?
It was fun though. We were there for a week.
Nice.
Two or three days. The first 3 days, the masks are required, And then they lifted it Saturday or Friday night. So we got to go to the parks 3 more days without masks on.
That's awesome. Dude, that's awesome.
You go Epcot?
We did all of them. We did Magic. So first day we landed on Wednesday, did Animal Kingdom. Got stuck in a 20-minute downpour, so Gwen and I went and played in the rain. Got soaking wet. Then Thursday we went to Magic Kingdom. Friday we went to Hollywood Studios. Saturday I went and golfed in the morning and then went to Epcot. And then we had a resort day on the 16th on Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday we went Magic Kingdom again and Animal Kingdom. And then flew home Wednesday.
Nice.
That sounds fun.
So what was the crowd situation like? Were you able to like get on and off things pretty easy?
So my buddy has a service animal and has his front of the line pass. So we were all with him. So we on at Magic Kingdom, we rode every ride except for 3 of them the first day. In the first hour we were there, we rode 5 rides in an hour.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
So
that sounds
really cool. Just flexing your
how
white
many people were you
here.
Able to kiss while you were there? Because that's what I've been trying to get back into is maskless kissing.
The Florida girls, man.
My free kisses booth really took a dive last year, so I'm trying to get that back up.
Did you say you dove under the table for your free kisses?
Yeah, I mean, no. I was really trying to, I've been trying to make it big doing a free kisses booth. Everybody knows that. It's not no surprise this podcast. But I was noticing last year I really lost a lot of my business, so now I'm only getting about 50 free kisses a day. So I'm really hoping to get that business up. Just curious how it was in Florida. You know, maybe starting.
He's had to really get his hands dirty this year, if you know what I mean.
So capacity was limited to, I don't remember, I think they said like 35% the first days we were there. And then when they took the masks off, mask mandate away, they increased capacity. So it was a huge difference between the first 2 days, we went to the first day we were at Magic Kingdom compared to the second day. It was a lot crazier.
Do they require proof of vaccination or something? Is that how they're able to get away with that?
Nope.
Show me your papers.
Yeah, what the DeSantis said that he's
Venezuela situation.
DeSantis said that he's not like you're not allowed to bring like they're not checking for vaccination cards. Like you're not allowed to bring them or something like that.
We had it with I had mine with me and Crystal had hers, and so we went. But no, there was no proof required, nothing. It was at your own.
And how did you feel going through that? Like fine, or was there some spots where you're like, this is a little weird?
So you had to wear the mask while you're in the line queue. So and on the ride itself. So that was a little weird, but outside.
The ride picture business is taking a dive.
Yeah, but it was fine. It was nice being able to be outside with the humidity and not having a mask on.
Did they have anybody who stands there just to spit in your mouth? Because I was trying to sign up for that job for other people at the park. Normally, I go there. I used to do this back in the day. It was normal. But, I mean, I'm hoping to bring that back. So,
the best spit in your mouth.
So they lifted
it. That sounds like Knott's or Six Flags.
Six Flags or Legoland. They lifted it Friday night, Saturday, and they did not tell any of the cast members or, employees until they got to work Saturday morning. So, they had no communication from Disney. They found out either through social media or when they got to work.
Okay.
So, it was a last-minute thing or something. I don't know. It was cool, though.
So, there you go, Brian. You can sign up for spitting in the mouth.
I'm trying to get that job back, man. I mean, these were unpaid work, but, I'm hoping to turn them in between, influencer stuff.
You could probably get a job on the non-racist Splash Mountain, just spitting at people as they come down.
Don't use dead names, please. There's no Splash Mountain. There's only Princess and the Frog Mountain. Okay?
It's still Splash Mountain out in Florida.
Well, of course. The land of the free, home of the brave. Over here, though, please don't use dead names, okay? It's called Princess and the Frog Mountain.biz.
Is it really?
Yeah,
They're redoing all of the Splash Mountains to take out all the Briar Rabbit stuff.
And the Jungle Cruise, right?
It's from Song of the South, which has some pretty
racist undertones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a tar baby. It's fine.
Disney also made a
Huckleberry. They haven't changed that name of that school.
Disney also made a Huckleberry Finn movie. Yeah.
I mean, to each their own. If enough people are upset by it, then.
It's weird, one, that they ever had a Splash Mountain ride when we're not even allowed to see that movie because I've never been able to see it. You have to go through the dark web, as everybody knows, to find these things. And so it's like, it's weird, one, that they kept it for so long. And then two, it's weird that they changed it without still letting anyone see the movie because people were upset. But I mean, I personally haven't seen it. It's weird to like, but hey, you know, Dumbo is now an R-rated film on Disney Plus. You have to get your parents' permission to watch it. So
what is
Dumbo, the cartoon? You can't watch it without parental advice. You have to like turn on the parental code.
Peter Pan 2 is also like that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something, you know, something else on Disney Plus that said like you had to do that and like
a lot of the cartoons.
Yeah, it was Captain Marvel. They said, "Are you sure you want to watch this garbage?"
Yeah.
I mean, I would be okay if they did that and they put that on like Cinderella, Snow White, all of these. Like, I would be okay with that. This is
Sleeping Beauty
real shit. You want to watch this?
Brian Wegner, how's the balloon animal biz going? Is it going
crazy, bro? It's nonstop, can't stop, won't stop. I'm living that crazy lifestyle, bro. We're partying every day, okay? We're kissing on the mouths. We're opening our mouths. California's land of the free, home of the brave. You don't have to wear a mask anywhere you go. Nobody gets angry at you. You don't need a vaccine. You just live your life the best you yet. Now, if you've lived here, you probably know everything is the exact same as it was literally 3 months ago.
Not June 15th, everything's opening back up. Yeah. It's amazing how a recall election will change mask mandates.
Well, okay. Well, my question to you is, when you're in these restaurants, do you have to, like, what is the, do, are you getting less customers or like, how, what's going
no,
on
no,
with
no,
this?
No, no, no. Everybody's super excited to be out. So I'm doing really well. But yeah, it's just the way it is. You know, I mean, everybody's excited to be outside. Everything's the same as it was last year. You know, I mean, in my opinion, things could have stayed open. I know that's cancel worthy to say that, you crazy monster.
Yeah, do you hate grandma or what? Jeez.
I guess I hate people because I didn't want to go on unemployment for 11 and a half months. But yeah, I'm a monster because I wanted to work.
Do you take your mask off, blow up the balloons or what?
I'm going to
put in a Lady Gaga monster song here just so you guys know in post.
Oh, you're going to put a Mumford and Sons song?
No.
Everybody loves Mumford & Sons, man. They're the number one band in America. Everybody knows that. Actually, put a Chris D'Elia comedian bit. I think he's a really well-liked person. I just watched the movie that he was
supposed to be 16 and 17-year-olds.
Army of the Dead. Did you guys watch that trash?
No, I saw that, and I read like it was a bunch of articles that says Zack Snyder is putting a whole bunch of like political undertones in it.
I mean, I think there are those in there. I don't think that should be a reason for not watching. I think your reason for not watching it should be it is literal dog shit. And it is one of the worst things I've ever seen. It is almost as bad as Wonder Woman 1984. If you saw Wonder Woman 1984,
isn't Batista in that though?
Film of the year. What are you talking about?
How could a movie be this bad? You then watch Army of the Dead and you're like, oh, this is everything nowadays. Everything is this bad. So,
Go watch
Guy Ritchie's Wrath of Man.
That was good. I liked that one.
It was good. In the beginning, you're like, man, everybody's horrible at acting. And then, you know, because I'm a monster, I went to the theaters. That means I wish everybody's dead.
So did I.
You've been on the internet.
I went to the Eagle Garden. My grandma, how dare you?
I know. I killed everybody's grandparents who I've never met by going to a theater that was pretty much empty by myself.
Did you lick
the
handrails as you were walking in and out?
Of course I licked the handrail, and I kissed everybody I saw. I'm just doing what's right. I'm following the guidelines. I trust the science, and I trust the experts, okay? And I'm never going to stop trusting them, no matter what you say.
Kissing strangers is very European.
Yeah, we're very progressive over here.
I'm not totally – I don't do that stuff, okay? I'm America, so I do open mouth kisses. I don't do kisses.
You are America. We have America on the podcast right now.
America.
I'm America. Biz, and that's what I'm all about, getting that money, giving that Dogecoin recommendations, and getting my cryptos. Okay, I'm all about America. The light.
I've been losing money on Dogecoin. Get out of here.
They're projecting it's going to hit like $7 or $8 here by the time next year rolls around.
It's going to hit $1 trillion. Okay, for you non-believers
over there.
When it
jumped
the
last time, Josh texted me, I looked and I was like, oh, I've got $10,000.
Yeah,
I just wanted
goodness,
to
really?
See, man, because
wow.
You got more Dogecoin than I do. So I just want to see how much you made. I bought some Shiba Inu. I bought 3 million of them for like $23 a couple weeks ago.
I bought 20 million.
Nice.
I've been buying Shiba Inu. It's an Indian version of I hope that's okay. I mean, I bought it from a website. They said, "Give me money and we'll give you Shiba Inu coins."
This is my returns, guys.
on the badge card.
100%, $3.
I'm just saying, 100,000.
I'm in 2 weeks ago. What's
big
up?
Money here.
Yeah.
When you take it out, does the app take like a certain percentage of that just for showing you funny animations along the way? Or like, is it actually yours?
No. So with Robinhood, you don't actually own the coin. So like you buy and sell it like it's a stock. But if you go onto like Coinbase, then you actually do own the coin. And they take, I want to say it's like 2%. They take like a 2% cut from it.
I don't think they take that much, man.
Coin, you sure? On Coinbase? I thought they took. They
oh,
take
no, no,
like
sorry,
a,
sorry, sorry. On Robinhood.
No, on Robinhood, they don't take anything. They haven't, I mean, that might be like their next big thing they're going to do. But yeah.
Like they also don't let you invest in things sometimes.
That's true. GameStop. Yeah.
Well, hey, those were Russian hackers. Everybody knows that we wouldn't allow that because of the Rush hackers. You can't buy GameStop. Those Russian hackers. Oh my goodness.
I can't been to GameStop?
Believe how much Russian hackers there are.
Wait.
Please use a Chinese search engine.
Yeah.
I love that excuse for not allowing people to buy stock, which is insane, is Russian hackers destabilized it.
It's always Russian hackers.
I want to be able to have an excuse for any time I do anything that's crazy and insane, be like, those Russian hackers came and they made my balloons bad, so you can't have anything, kids, and you need to give me money still, but no balloons. Russian hackers.
Russian hackers only know how to make snakes.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry, I can't make any cool things. I only make snakes because of Russian hackers.
All right. So finally, let's make our way to our last round of topics here.
Hey, hold on.
What's up?
Where's your update, bud?
Yeah.
Oh, my update. All right. So we moved out here to Texas. We're out here in me and the wife and the kids. Yeah. We're out here in Texas, and we got about 5 acres here. It's been pretty nice. You know, I haven't really noticed any of the like political unrest that everyone's talking about.
Well, you got to look outside your window, man.
Do I have a what? A ride-on mower? Like, do you have a bunch of grass or anything like that where you need a mower for?
Need a mower. We haven't got one yet. We're paying someone to come out and do it, which is
goats.
So our lawn, like the people who are mowing our lawn, like their lawnmower is like broke, so they haven't been out here for a couple weeks. And we've got this thing out there called speargrass. And 2 days ago, I pulled a bunch of speargrass out of Rocky impaled himself like 10 times on speargrass. So I will like walk out and he's got, you know, like the dog from the Great Outdoors, how he has like the porquipine quills in his mouth. Like that was Rocky. And I'm like pulling these things out of his mouth and he's just doesn't really care that much. Yeah. I mean, he's got one eye and he's got a bunch of holes in his mouth now. So life is good for him, I guess.
He's aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Steve-O on Jackass did that.
That's right. He did. Yeah. Did you guys watch Action? Was it not? Not Action Park, the
Last
one that
Action Theme Park.
No, the one that Johnny Knoxville did. He did like a knockoff of that, where he was like Anyways, they have Chris Pontius on there, and he tries to wrestle like a porcupine, and ends up like stabbing himself all over his chest.
Action Point.
Dummy. Yeah, Action Points. So that's what we got going on.
You have a wife now. You have a Cyclops dog.
A Cyclops dog.
How many dogs do you have?
We have 4 dogs. We had to put Roxy down, unfortunately. She was...
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, she hit 17, and then she had a tumor, and it started to, like, split itself open.
There he is.
There's the baby.
Hey, Zion.
Baby. There's a baby who's going to come and talk on the podcast, guys.
It's more intelligent things to say.
I was
going to
say, he's got better topics.
Yeah, you can bring the conversation up.
Hey, Carlos.
Big Duke earlier.
Hey, little man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey. What's up, bud? For those of you listening, there's a baby on the screen.
Wait, why aren't they watching right now?
It's an audio medium, sir.
This is a video medium. Everybody knows that.
That baby looks nothing like you. I'm just kidding.
That baby's black.
Who's the real father?
Father Christmas.
But anyways, yeah, life's all right. You know, I'm working a full-time job, so as soon as summer gets, I'm teaching, so I got the summer off, so that'll give me some time to
What are you teaching?
Recoup.
Pornog to kids?
Teaching what?
Pornog.
Porn.
That's like a new class. It's, in all the popular schools.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's like Pornog. Frowned upon.
It might be a California thing.
Might be a California. Yeah. All right, so let's jump into this last
question. What are you teaching?
English. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So I got 7th grade through 11th grade English. Ooh, and
they're all in one class together.
Well, it's cool because like it's not a public school, so I can like teach banned books, you know, like we can read Huckleberry Finn in 1984 and all those books.
And Mein Kampf, which is his main banned book. Super strange that he went there immediately.
Josh, rough, dude.
This is the teach their own podcast, right? I thought this was a safe zone.
Don't you know that
he's
going to
be teaching American History X?
Nazis are people who don't want Israelis dead. Don't you know that?
Of course. Hey, speaking of which, have you guys caught Jojo Rabbit? I just watched that like a month ago, and it's a pretty funny
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joey Siwa. Everybody knows that YouTuber.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just seeing like some of the Taika Waititi is just hilarious in that movie, but it's also like has a very like sharp message being delivered in it. I don't know, it's good. It was done very, very well.
Yeah, man, that movie's very good. That was my second favorite movie on Topicopolis's best films of 2019. Thank you for remembering.
That's right. That's right.
I actually don't know. I think Justin was there. I know he liked The King and it was Tacos and Jesus, dude.
Brett Cruz. Yeah.
Brett.
We miss you.
Brett.
We miss you, Brett.
Brett. He's in Austin.
Yeah, he is in Austin. He's busy all the time, so it's hard to
get some
minutes with him. All right, topics now. Brian Kane, let's hit your topic first here. Lay the facts down on us. What's going on? What are we chatting about?
Brian.
What are we chatting about today?
Just lay it, Brian, please.
Well, before I lay each of you individually, aggressively, no signs of remorse.
See, he's going to put Brian Wagner's kissing booth out of business again.
No, it's free kisses, though.
Yeah, we could do part one, part two. 2-for-1 special.
You get him coming in the front and coming out the back.
The Bryans.
Yeah, exactly. 2-for-1. So I want to talk about the workforce a little bit. The job stuff came out from various statistics, Bureau of Labor Statistics, talking about job growth not coming back at the rate that you would expect, not matching what you would see in kind of expected economic growth, kind of post-pandemic enthusiasm around the vaccine, things like that. And as you start to see different polls coming out, you see either a lot of people aren't working, they're continue to be at home, but there are, you know, 750,000 jobs available right now if you want them, but a lot of people don't want them. And then you talk and look at the people who are actually working and you say, well, recent polls says about 1 in 4 are considering quitting their job kind of after this pandemic wanes. And it kind of got me thinking, well, why is that? Is it have something to do with, well, there's stimulus money, so free money on the table, people deserve a break. It's not necessarily that. You're wondering, are people just lazy? I think it's a little bit of that. But more often than not, you're actually seeing people who are looking at their skill set and kind of realizing that they're kind of unhappy in their current work situation. You know, they're either working a 9-to-5 and they're at home, they've got a kid, a partner they hate, or they've got dogs that they didn't want, or, you know, whatever it is. And so they've got all these different stressors, and work is just kind of that last straw. And they're saying, well, I'm going to quit. 1 in 4 people is kind of a huge amount, considering unemployment rate is like 6.3%. And of that, I'd say probably 2/3 of that are still able-bodied people, at least. Mm. So I thought it was interesting. And we all work in different fields, right? You've got Josh in education, you've got Brian blowing balloon snakes, and you've got, you know, all
only
sorts
snakes.
Of stuff.
Just
so,
blowing snakes. Snakes.
I literally just snakes. Make, yeah, yeah. I blow one thing. I blow it all day.
It's and, all the and same shape, too. It's really weird.
Shows commitment.
Committed to his
love, love so, what you do, you never work a day in your life.
So I kind of wanted to get everyone's perspective around their different kind of areas that they're working in, and like, are they seeing the same thing? Are there a lot of people that y'all are working with that kind of are also thinking about leaving, reevaluating their skill set, going back to school, or anything like that?
So,
there's a few teachers who have done that where I work. There, you know, they want to, but they go back to school, but they don't necessarily leave. I feel like, you know, you can discover your skill set, right? But a lot of people are just leaving and they're saying, I want to go work on my skill set outside of here. And they don't get another job to work on that skill set. They just like, I'm out, you know, see ya. And then, so that's why we have all these jobs ready to go and nobody to work them.
So,
right. Cause people are just almost treating it more hobby like in the skill set, as opposed to like, here's my pivot for career.
Yeah. Like I hear a bunch of, oh, welding's good. Like trade schools, this and that. But the problem is there's so many trade jobs available now. Everybody that talks a big game about going in trade school or like learning how to weld or whatever.
Don't really want
to
do it.
Nobody's ever doing it. They're just leaving. That's like their escape to, you know, get out of everything else in their life. And they think that it's going to work that way.
Do you think with the trade schools, it's like a fantasy thing, almost going back to where like they're in their current job. And if it's, you know, I don't want to be rude and call it like pencil pusher, but you're just like some either middle management, whatever role, office, 9 to 5, whatever it is. And they're like, well, it's more work to do that, but it kind of like is starting to build a little bit of prestige back. Cause it's like still people willing to put in hard work and kind of willing to do the hard jobs that other people don't want to do. You think it's just laziness and why they don't want to make the plunge?
From what I see on an everyday basis, it's really, these kids, nobody's motivated anymore. Mm. They can say they want to do trade school or whatever. And yeah, you'll make a quick buck or you'll end up working at an American crematory.
burn a quick buck.
Yeah, burn a quick buck. But at the same time, it's a fantasy in their eyes because they're not you're not really doing much to work there. Like it's hard work. Yeah, and those who can do it, I applaud them greatly. You know, I did it for a while.
Yeah.
Well, but at the same time, everybody, the 90% out of the, you know, the whole that talk a game, they don't do it.
Well, how much passion do you like when you have a passion for doing something like? How much of that is something you think that lasts, or do you think that that's fleeting? Like you can say, it's my passion to be a doctor, but then eventually after like having, you know, so many patients for so many years, you're like, oh, I'm not happy doing this anymore.
Yeah. Well, for me with the trade schools, that was me. Like I enjoy welding. I love the crap out of it. You know, I would do it, not get paid for it. I'd rather just weld, you know, cause then you got to put up with the stupid people, you know, that kind of oversee you. And I know Justin knows a lot about those stupid people, especially the ones we work with. Yeah.
I think I liked working on cars and everything, and then it finally got to a point where you work for stupid people.
Right.
And then you just can't – you lose the passion of it because you have to fit into this box where they throw a lot more responsibility on top of you that you weren't ready for or
mm-hmm. –
like your workload becomes so much because you're good at what you do and they just overload you.
So
and then people get miserable and they change and they pivot off of that to change careers. But the backside of that is you have to start all over in your pay again.
So based on that though, would you say that like the perfect job is like 50% the job itself and then 50% the circumstances surrounding the job?
Yeah, I'd give it around that. Maybe less than, not really 50-50, but as far as like trade school goes, you got the, like, I'd say 70-30 or something like that.
Here's another, I mean, I don't want to derail what Josh just asked, but to go back to Brian's original point, you're talking about pandemic jobs and pre-pandemic jobs, right? A lot of this discussion is going back to the ideas of people being lazy and blah, blah, blah. What I've seen is 2019, I run a small entertainment company. So 2019, it was much easier to find workers. There was a lot less government aid. There's always been government aid. It's always been out there. If you want to look hard enough, you can find it. But right now, it is so simple that as somebody who was on unemployment last year, I could tell you they have been harassing me to try to get me back on unemployment. I personally don't want to. But for a lot of these kids who are in the service industry, which is where a lot of this job growth is because they're bringing back all their workers, $500 a week in California, which is the guaranteed minimum for unemployment, generally speaking. I don't know anybody who makes less than that because they have the extra state funds plus the original state funds or the federal funds plus the original state funds.
Federal state funds. September at least.
Yeah. So because of that, you're talking about kids who would make $400 working 4 days a week or $500 sitting on their bus. Like, that's a pretty easy proposition. Now, what I'm finding, too, is as, like, we're seeing an immense amount of money be flooded into the market. Money itself is becoming less valuable. Where to the point,
inflation is like, up across the board.
Yeah, where the point of like Brian Kane, you mentioned buying a home, right? Like buying a home is so difficult that even like myself and friends who have some money who could put down payments for these things now, you cannot, it's very difficult to find yourself able to do that without having a full cash payment, which when home prices are anywhere from like 700 to 1.5 million for standardized homes, that's hard to have all of that in cash plus maybe a 10% fee on top of that because you're also competing with companies. So you're finding this like, why work? Because you're going to be able to pay your basic bills of being in an apartment from the majority of people who are unmotivated. They don't care. They just want to watch Netflix. They want to have a beer. They want to live their life. What's the value of working? And honestly, when you're getting somebody taking care of you all the time in a world, why should you work? So it's bred this really bad idea that I see everywhere where it's like, well, I got money now. Like, I don't need to work this minute because they can't make the money to get the things they actually want. It's almost impossible outside of very, very, very few schools. As somebody from who knows six different programming languages, has studied multiple different fields, and, you know, I run an entertainment company because that's the highest paying job I can find. It is hard to break into these fields. So while there's those jobs out there, I apply to them all the time, and they demand so much. A lot of them demand several years of experience in that field, plus schooling, plus these other things. So I just think we have so many factors going on all at once that it's impossible to say, oh, it's just laziness. Because, yeah, there is a subset of the culture who it is just lazy. They're totally like, hey, I make the money I want. But there's also something about like, hey, why should I? Why should I do this stuff?
I think that's for the most part. Like, Ryan, we'll go back to the skill set. You know, like, oh, I want to reevaluate my skill set. Like, for me, I'm working on my doctorate right now, you know, trying to get
Dr. Peterson,
the teaching game here. But a lot of people go, I want to leave, you know, get my skill set. They leave, and then they find that money that Brian's talking about. And they realize, well, I have to work for the, you know, I can forget about my skill set and just grab this. And so in the process of, to quote a millennials here, is find themselves, you know, they end up just getting that money and say, screw it, I'm good, you know.
They found it.
So
they found it, as minimal as it is. You know, like a lot of where I teach, a lot of kids would rather work these, you know, these $10 an hour jobs for the rest of their life than to go to school and put a little time in to make more.
But also, I feel like it's also a way to kind of control it, where it's like, you know, okay, well, do you want to, if you vote for me, we can keep the money train going. But if you don't, then you got to go back to work.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny how the state of California did get an extra $600 to $1,200 special stimulus check right during a recall season. You're seeing all of these problems. And like, I mean, literally right now I'm having to stay on top of $2,600 that the government owes me through different factors. And that's not a ton of money, but for some of these kids, that's like their rent or whatever, or their rent for 2 months, you know, or their whole month's bills. And it's like, so imagine that's happening and there's so much money floating out there. I was talking to a buddy, I missed this one, but they had a small business loan, the SBA loan. Free forgiven loan, $1,000. You just had to apply. He actually worked for a company and he didn't do anything illegal. He just put his name in there, gave him $1,000, went to his account, said it was forgiven immediately. If you went for the PPP loans, you could get that. That was forgiven, a little bit harder. But I'm just saying there's so much money right now. And that idea of home ownership is becoming extra fleeting. That's why you see so many people investing into cryptos, investing into unguaranteed stocks, volatile stocks, right? Like the Russian hacker stocks, AMC, GameStop, the things where it has the potential to jump hundreds of dollars in a day. And yeah, I get it, man. Like, I totally get it. As somebody who like literally can sit and program a website and an application and still can't get into those fields, yet like is successful on a different side because I do some weird job that nobody wants to do. I get it. If I were a kid and I was 18 or 19 nowadays, I get that basic job, wait for them to fire me, get on unemployment, and then I guess go to school perpetually while the government holds the bill.
Okay, I have a question. Is it easier now, like during the season of COVID, is it easier to get on unemployment? Like, do you don't have to prove that you're getting a job,
so
from what I understand,
easy,
right?
To get on unemployment.
So easy, so much easier.
You could literally not have ever worked in your life with the repercussion that they may find you and file today. That is how crazy it is. Like, you don't, they used to call people to ask them if they were unemployed. They don't do that anymore. They used to ask you to file for like, hey, you look for a job this week. You don't do that anymore.
You used to fill out a whole sheet of what companies you applied to with the references and they would check them.
Don't need it. So you could, and as far as I know, September 2021, may not be the end date for this thing. So,
My work, they basically, we had our all hands meeting because we're based in Costa Mesa. They had on our meeting this last week, they said that they're looking at different options for a return to the office. They won't even consider that until like 70% of our office is vaccinated. Mm-hmm. The way they're looking is like a hybrid, you know, 3 days at home, 2 days in the office. And the new scheduling will start in September is what they're planning.
Okay.
But what we've realized is, you know, with the whole COVID time and working is from us working at home, one, it proves that we don't need to go into the office every day.
Yeah.
Two, it made us all reevaluate what's kind of important in our lives. So like being able to help my daughter with school when she does distance learning, not, you know, having to stress about getting up an hour and a half early to get to work or anything like that. It's just, it helped us reevaluate where we were.
Yeah.
And luckily the company I work for, they are very open to listening to us. Like they asked, would you rather go back to the office full time or whatever? And all of us said, we'd rather do a hybrid.
Totally.
So,
you're going to get a lot of that because in this poll, it's something to kind of add to this is people are, you know, it says 80% or so concerned about career advancement. And I think you can see a lot of that in combination with what you're seeing where you have people, especially in the younger group, Brian, like you were talking about before, where it's like, this is what we want. Like we see this shit on TV, YouTube, whatever it is, all these, you know, Mr. Beast. I want to live like Mr. Beast, whatever it is. Like, I've got millions of dollars. Like I can do what I want. Clearly that's not achievable. But they don't want to put in the work, go to college. They don't want to learn programming. They don't want to become a doctor. They don't want to be a lawyer, want to do any of that. They say, well, I could just
Instagram.
Skate by.
Yeah.
Here comes universal basic income, which is going to basically just make me do enough. I could buy a beer when I want to. I can get marijuana if I smoke marijuana. I can get my cigarettes. I can drink. I can
pay my
I can have a kid and the government's going to pay me to have more for a kid. Like there's all these different avenues to just support you even when you're not really like living up to what you want to do. What you then run into is there's the other side of that, which is there's people who are older who are like, well, I can make almost as much money as I can now. I've been working since I was 15. I'm 55 now. I'm close to retirement.
You look good for
55, and I'm not going back to work. And those are the people who are like super skilled, strong positions who have like been well established, and they're the ones also not wanting to go to work. So you're actually, you have these people and the quality of output in a lot of these places is actually less because these more experienced VP level people, whatever it is, are like, screw it. I'm not going back to that.
So do you think that this is going to cause, I mean, kind of like what Daniel had said. And then to your point, Brian, like, do you think that this is going to cause a reexamination of the, like the 9-to-5 workday, like that grind, because, you know, like Daniel, you had said that you had time to sit there and reevaluate things. And like, this is kind of given, you know, millennials the excuse to like, oh, I don't have to go off to Yosemite to discover who I am and what I want to do with my life. Now I can just kind of do it on the couch and still get paid for it.
Yeah. So I've worked the whole time from home, like, you know, March 17th, you know, 2019, right? They shut everything down, or is it 2020? I don't know anymore.
March 16th, everything's 2020.
Okay, whatever. I don't remember. It's all blur. We set, you know, I had, you know, a setup at home already because I was trying to talk to Boston to let me work from home 1 or 2 days a week anyways. Well, then we moved in, you know, everybody had to move to the house, and it went smoothly. Like, we've proved that all of us can work and keep money coming into the company by not being there.
So I hate being the dude who rains on everyone's parade. The one thing I doubt that. I love it, actually. I love it. I will say one thing to consider if this continues, if work from home is established as workable. This is a horrible, mean thing to say, but is originally what we studied in programming. No humans are essential. Everyone is replaceable. And if you can do your work on a computer can do your work for you. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
I don't care if they need to hire somebody from India. If you are living in California right now and you're getting more than $100,000 a year, you should be terrified. Literally. Oh. If you are sitting at home, you should be scared out of your mind, because even if the government's like, hey, you don't, you can't hire India. Well, they're going to hire Iowa or Idaho or Kansas or Kentucky or whatever place, because they can pay them 30,000 bucks to do your job. And yeah. I don't mean that for you, Daniel or Brian. I don't know what you guys do. Some jobs are a lot harder to replace than others, especially customer-focused or customer-facing jobs are That's a pain to replace. Yeah. So like I said, you will have a lot longer leeway. But whoever's your database programmer, whoever those people are, those can be replaced. And almost every company has a handful of people who do back-end work. Either they'll replace them first with contracting companies, then they'll replace those contracting companies with AI. But it will happen, and it's a bummer. But people need to realize that by opening this can of worms, everything that happened last year, we are stepping into a lot of uncharted territory.
Well, these industries are going to have to do something because there's coming down the pipeline in the next 10 years. There's going to be a massive shortage of skilled, trained.
Sure, yeah.
And that goes back to what Brian was talking about with the whole thing is the skilled labor, like fixing automotive mechanics, welders,
those are
anything like that. Road work. Like they're not going to have
replacing that anytime soon.
Exactly.
How do you guys feel about what is it 2020 when Andrew Yang came out and said he's talking about this thing stuff. It's like talking about hey, automation is coming. He used the example of truck drivers. Truck drivers is obviously coming. You see the Tesla
factory workers, call center people.
Well, it is very scary.
But his solution is this is he spins that to say this is why you need UBI. Right. So this is why you need universal basic income. It's an interesting argument.
Yeah.
But it almost like is going to create like a disparate outcome where you're like you're going to have people who are going to change their skill set and become better, more quality workers in the labor force. But then you're going to have this sect of individuals who are just like, I'm going to get my UBI retail forever and I'm replaced by an iPad.
Yeah, so out here they've already started phasing out fast food workers. Like there's a Wendy's out here where it's like they have two people working because it's their job just to take care of the food in the drive-thru. But you go into the lobby, it's just like kiosks. You know, you order your food there. You can't get help.
Pretty soon grocery stores.
Exactly.
Don't touch the kiosks though. They did a study. There's a ton of like fecal particles.
I mean, and most of that's me. I'm normally rubbing my butt on these kiosks.
That's true though. Automation, I think, is I wouldn't use it for a universal income argument because that's kind of stupid in my book. But
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. But I think it's interesting how he's taking that, which is something very realistic, and also something that takes UBI, which I think is going to have like almost the reverse effect of what you would want. You want to encourage people to become more skilled labor, and I feel like this would just discourage anyone from doing anything.
Right.
To that argument, there's something to the desperateness of that situation, though, right? Like if your job's about to get phased out, you're going to have to adapt or die, or else we're going to end up with more situations like we have today. Well, where you have people who are like, well, the system has stepped on me so many times, I'm just going to go out and, become politically active and start rioting and stuff. Like, you have people, like, who take dark turns like that instead of saying, like, oh, I can rise above my circumstances.
Yeah, they become influencers, quote-unquote.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to be an influencer.
Learn to code,
YouTuber.
Peterson. Yeah, I think it's really dangerous because there are a lot of people who are, I think, with coronavirus kind of realized how
useless they are.
Saying how unnecessary their job is.
Yes. As somebody who's deemed unessential and knows multiple skills, I could tell you that the people who are deemed essential, the guy who stands behind a counter handing out marijuana, he could be replaced tomorrow. Yep. Like it
but
is.
In the same time, but somebody also who's doing programming and is using SQL or is coding in R, just do some basic data query stuff, that's also going to be out the door. And 100%. That's something that pays good right now.
Yeah.
Well, $100,000+. That's going to go away in 6-7 years, and then that person's going to go, well, shit. Now what?
Okay,
You can also phase out welders too. They call for skilled jobs, but they are automating those things too.
Did that because of
they're dumbing it down.
Flow of new talent, and they just said, "Fuck it, we have to build a robot."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of people that'll get cut for the one guy that can set up machines to do it. But you only need one or two guys to do that.
It's either that or how much of it do you think is companies wanting to save money? Because like I look at big tech companies like Google, Facebook, Apple, whatever.
Yeah.
How much of that is them saying like I could get from point A to point B 50% cheaper if I just had a program or a robot to do this?
They'll do it 999,999 times out of
robots will take days off. They don't eat. They don't sleep.
So in... Yeah. Like, I guess, like, in essence, like, we are we are kind of causing ourselves to like go extinct in a way. Like,
well, I mean, take economically. Take a look at the port, though. You know, you have all those union workers, but like in LA, they're working hard to avoid the union workers by going automated. Mm-hmm. You know, because that way you don't have to deal with the
politics.
You know, we're not making money, but yet the workers want raises, 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 and then you have a you know, company that's going upside down because the union guys, you know, for the very little work they do.
I mean, this topic is so big that you could literally spend hours just discussing it, because like you said, there's multiple cases, and we haven't even discussed outer country or whatever. I can't even remember the name of it right now, outsourcing to other countries, because like for programming, I mean, India is a lot more talented than most people in the US are. So it's like, hey,
you way cheaper.
Yeah. You could buy
the Indian people going to do an automation, puts them out of business.
You know,
yeah,
Best Buy outsourced.
All the time, that's their job now, is they manage a team of people from India for like, you know, whatever. They replaced 20 workers here and they got 100 people there, and it's still cheaper. And they have one guy who, you know, speaks Hindi or whatever and helps them out. So it's like, yeah, this isn't happening tomorrow. I think that idea, like this culture we have that's so selfish and so self-focused, needs to understand that right now we are still living in an incredible time. We don't know what the future holds. It could be phenomenal. It could be incredible. Like, it could be even better. They could be like horses, which is a bad example. But if you ever want to see like an incredible YouTube documentary to show how scary this is, watch one from, I want to say 2012, called Humans Need Not Apply. It's about 20 minutes and it shows about how that exact same thing happened to horses. Horses used to be all the workers. Now are like, you know, they used to pull the things and we got the car.
And you kidnapped all the horses. Of them. They're behind
but
you.
Yeah, we killed it. We kidnapped them. They're all right behind me.
They make dog food.
But right. I'm just saying though, now they need less horses. So there are a lot less horses. So just understand that, like, be thankful for what you have. Work hard right now. Who knows what's going to happen with money, let alone all these other problems that we're talking about. What does money look like in 2 years?
Yeah, save it up.
I don't know if you should save money, because it might not be worth as much, you know, like, yeah, podcast.
Yeah.
What you should be doing is podcasting. What I'm telling everybody here is podcast now. No, but I mean, I can't stress enough that, like, I guess enjoy your life, because there's this article I just read the other day that was so interesting about a man who in the 1940s hid $40,000 cash, equivalency of, what was it, $10 million, I want to say, back in his time, and he hid it under his floorboards, and somebody found it. Guess what that money's worth? $40,000 a day, which isn't worth enough to even buy a house. So if you're saving all your money, hoping that it's going to somehow value, think again. It's not. So yeah, it's just, I would say, like, be thankful for what you have. Enjoy. If you feel comfortable traveling, travel. Whatever you feel comfortable doing, do it now. Honestly. Like, because there is a real, real future where things are going to get real wild, real fast. And I always love to put this real quick as an example. My parents bought their house for $50,000, you know, 40 years ago. They live in Newport Beach. Their house is now $2 million today. It is a dumpy 70-year-old home. So what is money worth? They couldn't get $200,000 for that in the 90s. So just understand, money's not going to be there for you. Don't trust it. Enjoy it. Work hard.
The future is in assets. Is that what you're saying? I mean, maybe not like NFTs or anything, but like property.
The right assets, though.
I'd say invest in like hard money or land. You know, land's really where
land. Land is where it's at.
I would say food, hard money, food, water, and land. If you can buy them before the other people do, you'll be good. But the problem is, most of those things, if you actually look into real business level or commerce level buying, you're going to find most of it's already bought at this point. So yeah, if you can buy yourself 50 acres of land and build a farm and also buy it with a lake or something with clean water that's potentially renewable from a mountain, you're going to be thinking for the future. But legitimately, nobody knows what's going to happen, and there is so much weird stuff going on. I would not stress yourself about those things. But for the time being, what Brian mentioned, I would consider working. I would also consider looking into skills. I don't think they can be one or the other. I think you could do both. I think you could legitimately
learn something that you could do anywhere.
Yeah. I think you could legitimately work your job and learn something. I've done that most of my adult life. I don't think it's impossible. It doesn't mean that you have to quit, and just don't use
your job is the excuse for why your life is bad. Because I've heard that so many times, and it's such a BS
excuse. That's just a you problem, not a job problem.
Yeah. Well, we put our own limitations on ourselves. You know, like 100. As a teacher, like I haven't in my field, like I haven't seen a lot of this go down. Because when you're a teacher, like you're, this is something you're signing up for a long time. Like you know exactly what you're getting into when you teach, just because it's so time consuming. So, I mean, all I hear from at my job is just like how much of a pain it is that like you can't go to, Burger King or Freddy's or somewhere past like 10 o'clock because they don't have the staff to stay open because everyone's kind of on, on unemployment.
Mm-hmm. Small problems, man. Real small problems.
A lot of times with the, like I hear, you know, oh, school's not my thing. They try to use that as their excuse. And you look at, you know, it's like, well, you haven't even tried yet.
Nope.
You haven't done real school. High school's not real school.
Yeah. You haven't been alive long enough to try hard enough. Right.
Right. You hadn't even tried hard enough to know if it's your thing or not.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of avenues that can cause something like this too. Like, you know, we would probably need a whole nother podcast for this, but what do you guys think about the idea of like the people in your life, right? Like, I don't want to go like realist, but do you think that our circumstances, like are the attitudes of our parents or the attitudes of our friends kind of help determine how we look at life?
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
awesome. I don't think you're stuck that way though. That's a big thing.
Right.
It's all about who you surround yourself with.
It's lazy to be stuck that way.
Yeah. I mean,
it's mentally lazy.
That's like
it's a great excuse.
Yeah, and that's just like that realist perspective though, right? Like we're defined by our circumstances and you're not able to rise above it. But I think that anyone's able to rise above it. It's just having the right, I don't want to say motivation, but just
mindset.
Like seeing yourself on the other side of the wall.
Yeah. Gosh, I think a lot of people think that way, and that's why you see so many people wanting to leave the workforce. They see themselves stuck in this shit, and they're just like, you know what? It doesn't matter what I'm going to do. I could leave tomorrow, and this is going to be the same. I may as well not work for a little bit and try to figure something out.
It's a cycle. Totally. Yeah, it's a cycle. It just continues to go.
Well, it's so weird that people give up so easily when, you know, back in the day, you know, if someone hadn't done something before, it was considered a monumental task. I think someone used breaking a certain minute mark on a mile. And then they go, nowadays, it's pretty standard that they break it now because they know that someone has done it before them. So it's easier for them mentally to do it. It's just so weird that you see all these successful people. I mean, not a lot of them, but there's quite a good number out there. But, you know, there's someone who has risen above their circumstances and they have done it. And yet people are still like, it's not possible.
Yeah. You know what? I had a teacher actually when I was doing my master class. It was for a race, sex, gender, da 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 class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I used an argument.
Oh, critical race class. Theory? You took a critical race theory class?
Yeah. So basically, we're talking about the certain minority communities and saying, you know, oh, they can't do that. And so I named off all these people from academics, you know, like Thomas Sowell and Walter E. Williams, who held extremely high chairs. Then I named movie stars, and he was like, well, the exceptions are never the rule. Like, that can't actually happen like this and that. And I said, and that's stupid.
That's a built-in excuse, right?
Yeah.
You say, oh, well, these are the exceptions. This isn't going to happen to me. It's like these people who
There's
are
a huge
in
list.
Black places don't get there from just waiting for things to happen to them.
Right.
Like there's got to be intrinsic motivation that's getting you to actually do shit and talking out.
Exactly.
The problem is that's a lot harder to get than just blaming things and blaming society. Blaming is the easiest thing you can do. That's what we've seen.
It all comes down to avoiding hard work.
Everything
excuses. It all comes to avoiding taking the easy way out.
We can't.
I think so. One thing that shows up a lot. Problems. I think. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
We can't blame statues for our personal problems.
People try. People certainly try.
Oh, they try like hell.
What are you talking about? All of my personal problems are based on that statue outside staring at me. If it wasn't there, it would finally go. I'd ever have everything I want. I'd have all the houses.
It's just there, keeping me down.
You know, one of the biggest crocks of shit, I think, that most of us were told as kids and growing up is that, you know, if you got to work in what you're passionate about. You've got to find your passion. You've got to do that because that's going to make work better.
Yeah.
I think that's crux shit.
I
think
I'd
you
agree.
Work, yeah. you have to yeah. be paid to work because nobody will do it for free.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think you need to find that thing that makes you happy in order to keep happy doing the other thing that makes you the money.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah. And if your passion crosses with what makes you money,
perfect.
That's the lottery. That's like good on you. But the overwhelming majority of people, 99.9% of people, are not going to fit into that bucket. And I think for so long it was told that you got to find what you're passionate about. And these people, everyone's growing up, they're still being told that. No one's passionate about anything. I'm passionate about what? They're passionate about playing video games, watching TikTok, or whatever it is.
And that's,
I want a job doing that.
Bless you.
That's become the new dream, though, right? You ask kids 5 years ago, what do you want to be? I want to be a police officer, firefighter, whatever. And then
don't say that.
You ask kids. Well, sorry, you know.
But look at that contrast.
You ask kids today, and they're like,
astronaut, doctor,
right?
Influencer, YouTuber.
Yeah, I want to be a streamer. I want to play Fortnite when I grow up. And these kids are like 6 years old.
I think you can talk about passion, but in the same way you had talked about being able to adjust, like say I tried building cars for a little bit, you know, I didn't make money, lost money every time, and so I decided that my passion really wasn't something that's going to be, you know, where I'm gonna hit the mark, so I'm gonna figure out something else to do that I also
not financially feasible,
yeah, that yeah. I like doing, but I could do that on the side just for kids and giggles.
Passions can be a hobby. That's
yeah, totally 100%.
Yeah, whenever I talk to people about jobs, because this is something I realized over working a lot of jobs, is as long as you don't wish you were dead doing that job, you should do that job. You need to make money. If obviously you wished you were dead and it was that bad and it was the worst thing ever, then yes, reevaluate your life. I had a job when I was younger, being a server at a restaurant, where I would wish actively that I would get in a car accident so I had an excuse not to go to work. Obviously not like a bad car accident, but just like something where I would have like be able to call and be like, hey, sorry, I can't come in today. That job wasn't for me. Yeah, that job wasn't for me. And I'm glad
everybody has
out of
days.
It. Yeah. So what I'm saying, though, is like, don't quit your job immediately. Try to find something new. I think this problem that we're having right now is so layered with so many things going on. I feel like even if we spent 10 hours, we almost wouldn't even be at like the beginning of it.
Because we haven't even touched on like cost of living, which is a huge factor.
How many people? How many times have you heard a bunch of people come, competing about whose job sucks worse?
Yeah.
Before? How many times do you hear people say, my job's better than yours? Hardly ever.
Brian's
always focusing on the negative, not the positive.
Yeah, Brian, talking about quitting immediately, let's talk about Justin. He became a legend quitting immediately at the crematory place, quit on his review.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
He's been a legend there ever since.
I'm like very bad at quitting. Every job I've fallen out, I quit one job in my life. Every other job I was like, hey, can you not schedule me? And then they're like, oh, you don't work here when I came back. I was like, hey, hooray. I got taken off the ship. That's different types of mentalities. But
I treat my job like a mercenary. I go where the money is. I go the highest bidder. I
think in that field you have to, though.
Yeah.
Why would you sell yourself short? There's no reason to.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's how you become a legend.
Yeah. You know, people don't appreciate the skills. It's like you're not paying for the time. Like someone goes, you know, well, you only did a job and you did it in 3 hours. Why am I going to pay for the whole day? I'm like, because I knew how to do it in 3 hours.
Exactly, because it took me years to get here. I paid for the tools to do it. I've learned how to do it faster and better than you.
Yeah. So I think
you're not paying for the time. You're paying for the knowledge.
Right. And exactly. This whole scenario we're discussing, I mean, like you're obviously like you're a skilled laborer, right? So like this scenario, sure. I think, is more prevalent with people who are working like retail or fast food or
I have no idea what it's like working at a desk, so I cannot comment on any of that.
Same. It's not fun.
I can tell you, it's great.
It pays. Yeah, it pays bills.
Yeah.
I just don't think I could ever do it.
That's the thing too. At the end of the day, like we have to do what we have to do to survive. Like there shouldn't even be a question of like what is the dollar sign? Like if life opens up an opportunity for me to make more money, then yeah, I should, but I don't have time to sit on my ass, you know?
Yeah. See, and that was for me is like, I could have probably been making more money had I still worked like at a dealership as a tech, but then, you know, I have Gwen and I like spending my Saturdays with her. Like I was able to coach soccer for her. Like I can take her to gymnastics. We can do all these things that if I was still at a dealership as a tech, making flat rate, you know, having to bust my ass to do all that, then it wasn't worth the sacrifice of spending time with her.
Yeah.
That's another really important part to think about.
Oh my gosh.
Jobs. Like we could be here for forever. You know, my bros, speaking of cost of living and things we probably won't even get into, I have to bounce, but I'm excited to listen to the rest of the topic apocalypse later. So I'll peace out and let you guys finish.
Yeah. Here's thanks, buddy. It was good talking.
Yeah, have fun. Piss people off.
Or pissing on people.
Hey,
both. Yeah, you have the best of both worlds.
No, that's how it was as I was a service advisor. It was like every you know, Monday through Saturday I was working. It was
and it wasn't like it, and the schedule was okay. Yeah, you could work 8 to 5, but you wouldn't get anything done as an advisor or as a tech. So like when I was an advisor, I was there at 6:30 till 5:36, 7 o'clock at night sometimes.
Me too.
And it wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. That's why I bounced.
Well, I find it weird that in the job now, it's like everybody's slaves to the job. It's like everybody's like, you know, I hope they give me my birthday off. It's like, no, that's not how that works. I don't almost feel sorry for having a life for my company. I'm like, hey, man, I won't be here. I'm not asking you for the day. I'm just letting you know that I won't be here. I don't feel like the need to make an excuse for having a life.
Well, yeah. And I think too, employers, this scenario could be made better if employers would actually I care about their employees a little bit. Like, don't give them crap every time they want to take a day off.
Yeah. You know, so my uncle, he works for a company where, you know, was there for 10 years and I don't remember how many years, but they gave him basically 10 weeks of vacation. Then when that happened, in order for them, because they're in aerospace and, you know, in order for them to get the right quality of people that they're looking for, they started offering unlimited vacation time. So basically, if you can get your job done, you know, 3 days a week, take the other 2 days off, paid. But yeah. I'm waiting to see how many other companies do that, but that's how they were getting the top candidates in, and it's working. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You got to make the job desirable to get the high quality.
This is the trick that happened in tech and a little bit in some of these bigger, more high profile companies. So I interviewed with Twitter. I've interviewed with Match.com to try to go there. What they do is they say, we've got everything you need on site. We have people who will make all your food for you. We've got people who will handle your dog walking. We've got people who will handle your kid sitting, all of that. The point is they want you there because when you're there and you're working, they thrive on innovation from employees because that's what makes them money, because they're not having to pay people to innovate for it. That they're paying a low wage.
They're removing distractions.
And they just make it somewhat convenient for you to stay there a lot longer.
Ryan, we've all seen the internship, okay? Come on.
Oh.
No, we haven't.
Twitter doesn't pay enough.
Things have changed in my life. So, watching a lot of movies is not one of them.
Twitter's gross, man.
Well, Brian Kane, are you still working with that company you were at before?
Same consulting, yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot easier now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
minions to do my work for me.
That's what I was going to ask. How's the work situation there? Like, have you been promoted or are you still working from home or are you?
We're still working from home. Basically, I deal with clients every day. I'm talking to people, doing research, presenting research and selling research and doing it that way.
Yeah.
Research is good. Everybody wants research because everybody wants to know. They want the inside scoop, right?
Yeah.
So we do the research to tell them exactly what the heck's going on. Then they can make action. So I'm in a very lucky spot to where I've kind of carved a specialty out for myself and within the company just kind of doing my thing, and it's good. Life's good. It's still long hours sometimes, but like being from home, it kind of makes it worth it because I lose 2 hours each day for driving. So I'm driving from here to Huntington Beach.
Oh, that's right.
Traffic each way, it's 45 minutes to an hour. So
now not walking across the street anymore.
Exactly.
All right. Well, do you guys have any like closing thoughts you want to hit here?
Fucking keep working. Don't be lazy.
Learn skills.
Yeah, well, I mean, because if you think about everything that we talked about, like it all leads to the same conclusion that if you're not working, like it's creating this cycle where it's going to cause other people to not work too. Like whether that happens economically or whether it happens from employers cutting jobs, like your actions, although it might not seem like it, have a direct effect on other people.
Yeah, keep working. All these people not working, getting government money, are fucking up my savings and fucking up my house value.
So, well, out here in Texas, man, they just opted out of federal unemployment. So we're, you know, people are going to go back to work out here real quick.
Good.
They better.
Infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not getting into that.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. I shudder to think at like what the world's going to look like in 5 years.
I think we can imagine it's going to be this hellscape of Mad Max crossed with cyberpunk, but realistically, it's going to be more or less the same. A couple more people will have been canceled.
Yeah.
The dollar is going to be worth less.
I mean, 10 more genders.
Yeah. And it's like, it's going to become more divided. And it's just going to stay that way. I think it's going to hit a certain point where, like, we're as divided as we can get. But nobody
wants to
push it.
I feel like the major population centers will be like that. But I think the majority of the country, like, where you, like, out in the middle of nowhere, like Texas, it's not going to really change much. But, like, in, like, New York, L.A., Frisco, Chicago, all these major...
Austin's a little...
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mix of L.A. and mm-hmm. New York.
Yeah, Austin's insane right now. It's homeless people.
But doesn't that just show that once you get a large group of people together that that's inevitably going to happen?
But so all these people leaving California and spreading to the rest of the country and infecting...
Like a virus. You're part of the problem, Peterson.
Well, the problem is they right. leave California, right? They say, oh, I hate how California's doing. There's so many homeless people. Then they go to all these other places, and they're voting in primaries for all these things that are going to make it exactly like...
Exactly how it was. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, they're not... Yeah, when that's like, you know, all my coworkers always, like, anytime I mess up, they go, you have to forgive him. He's from California, you know, and they just, like,
yep.
blame me for everything just because they think it's funny. But, you know, it's true, though. Like, we have... A lot of people that I worked with, you know, I worked at the church, or people I've known along the way, like, they've all come out here, and they're all very, you know, particular in the way that they vote and the way that they think. And so they're causing drastic shifts in the climate of the state itself.
Well, you look at the political landscape, or not the political landscape, but just the actual living landscape of what happened to Oregon about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
about 10, 15 years ago, mass exodus of California to Oregon. Because people who wanted the outdoors and people who wanted a little bit more freedom.
Yeah.
And then you see what Oregon turned into. Now you're starting to see Texas. There's a lot of people migrating from California to Texas, people going to Tennessee, people going to Virginia.
What happened, like, the other day for Oregon, 5 counties from Oregon decided to leave Oregon and go to Idaho.
Yep.
And so that's the majority of the state, those counties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like out here.
Well, majority of California isn't like, we're not LA and Frisco.
Yeah.
Well, out here, it's going to be interesting to see, like, when, you know, we got to vote for a new governor, like, what that's going to look like, you know, because I think that'll be the true test of this theory.
Oh, I'm sure you'll have a nice Democratic leader by the end of the term.
Like Matthew McConaughey or what?
Hell yeah.
We're going to have Caitlyn Jenner or whoever it's going to be, Bruce or who, I don't know.
Bruce Lynn Jenner. Yes.
Everybody just forgot that she killed somebody.
No big deal.
What'd she do?
Yep. Just ran over her Hummer.
We talked about that earlier. It's Bruce that killed the person.
That's right. And then Bruce died.
Yeah, so you can't. Yeah, you can't.
I believe it was after the transition, but all right.
Well, no, it was. That was like 95%.
Was it the spirit of Bruce finally leaving her body?
Yeah.
It was like when Steve Rogers was like going through, and he like came out just a little bit early, and they're like, "No, you're not quite done." He's like, "I got to kill some people."
The loading bar had just a little bit left on it.
Yeah, exactly. That was Isaiah Bradley. No big deal.
Yeah. All right. So for the time being, you know, I'm going to archive all these Topicocalypse episodes in August. So for the time being, you can download us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Podcast.com, Spotify, Stitcher. You can watch it on YouTube or listen to it on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, anchor.fm, all the places.
If we don't get taken down off of YouTube.
Yeah, we don't really do a lot of...
I would not go on YouTube, personally.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of... YouTube's a wasteland in itself. We're not really on social medias these days.
Would you say it was a teenage wasteland?
I'll put that song in here, too. Just wait for it. All right, so, yeah, if you guys have any questions, send us an email. Yeah, humanicamedia@gmail.com. And until next time.
Come back to across the U.S. or what?
Been an absolute
pleasure. Yeah, we're coming on so much.
Who's back coming on?
Yeah, make sure you visit Brian Wegner's kissing booth located in Newport Beach. And,
not to get mixed up with the movies, right?
Not to
bring
get...
Bring a bib.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a bib.
All right, until next time.
Out here in the fields, I fight for my meals. I get my back into my living. I don't need to fight to prove. I don't need to be forgiven, yeah, yeah.
walk on me. Let's get together.